Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Morning. All right. For those of you who I may not have had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Andrea Williamson, and I am an elder here at St. Andrew's, and I'm absolutely honored to be offering the message with you today. I have prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to work through me and in me to share with you what God knows we need to hear today. We live in a society that is so fast-paced and frenzied. We're expected to multitask and zip from one thing to the next. Many of us are working so much and trying to fit so much into our already busy days. So many of us are struggling with depression and anxiety. We are connected through technology or on social media, but yet many of us feel no real connection. An article on helpguide.org titled Social Media and Mental Health states, ironically, for a technology that's designed to bring people closer together, spending too much time engaging with social media can actually make you feel more lonely and isolated and exacerbate mental health problems such as anxiety and depression. It's not really surprising that most teenagers would rather text than talk in person. Todd Daly from Christian Bible Church in Cisna Park, Illinois, stated in his sermon on Shaped for Significance that we can use technology to run from responsibility, from vulnerability, and intimacy. We use it to run from each other, and we use it, frankly, to run from God. He doesn't think we do this kind of thing consciously, but it's easy to see how our most important relationship as Christians, our relationship with Jesus Christ, easily gets crowded out. He calls this a withering of our souls, where prayer becomes sporadic and difficult. The practices of reading and meditating on Scripture are largely evaporating, and no wonder we find ourselves in a spiritual desert. We are dry and brittle and don't produce much fruit. We learn in our scripture reading this morning that Jesus has a solution for this problem. His answer is to abide in him. These are Jesus' words from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. You may not have noticed, but the word abide is written 8 times in the first 8 verses of John chapter 15. It seems when a word is repeated so often, we should probably pay attention to it. So I've found by doing this, studying, preparing, that abiding in Christ is essential for a few things. For us to bear much fruit and to be saved from a wasted life. Also for answered prayers, and to be Jesus' disciples and glorify God. Okay, just a bit of context here for the verses that we just read. Jesus is speaking with his disciples in the upper room after they've had the Last Supper. He knows in a short time he will be taken away and crucified. These words are super important since Jesus took the time to tell his disciples these things at such a critical time. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches, and God is the gardener. Now, this analogy with the vine would have had great meaning for Jesus' disciples and the people of his time, as it would have had been common to see grapevines growing in their area. Of course, grapevines don't have quite as much meaning to us as they did to Jesus' disciples at the time, but we do know that the purpose of a grapevine is not just to look pretty. It's to grow grapes, and most likely, during Jesus' time, to make wine. So a vine that didn't bear fruit would not be useful. We learn from biblical scholars and by reading in Psalms and Isaiah that Israel had been referred to as the vine, but in kind of negative connotation because it was fruitless and faithless. Jesus could also have been referring to the Pharisees and scribes and others who were claiming to be sources of knowledge. So Jesus is distinguishing himself from Israel as the true vine. Now, since Jesus is saying that he is the true vine, he's implying there are false vines or other things that we might connect to in hopes that they might be a source of life. Could there be other areas where we seek nourishment and life? Maybe we tend to think we can do it all on our own if we just try hard enough. Or maybe we seek value in financial success or academic achievement. Or maybe we compare ourselves to others or seek approval from others. Or maybe we're fueled by anger or self-righteousness. Maybe we're not connecting with Jesus as our true source of eternal life. If we want a life of eternal value, Jesus tells us the only way is in him. It would be really sad if we got to the end of our life and realized that we lived for the wrong thing. Jesus is giving us a warning that that would be a wasted life, like the dead branches. And the other side of this, if you heard what I read, is that a fruitful life may be painful, because Jesus tells us that every branch that bears fruit, God, the gardener, prunes to make it bear more fruit. I learned in Better Homes and Gardeners, because I'm not the master gardener myself, so I learned that, to put it simply, pruning grapevines allows the plants to get enough sun. So pruning may look like the vine is being cut down so that the plant isn't going to survive, but it's actually for the good of the grapevine. The only way for the grapevine to produce plentiful grapes is for it to be pruned. And as it is with us, if we are abiding in Jesus, then we can expect to be pruned. It's not comfortable to go through times in our lives of pruning when we may feel a little dry spiritually, or our prayer life is a little stuck. This could be God removing things that may be blocking our spiritual growth. There's hope and encouragement and purpose in these times of painful pruning and suffering. As difficult as it is to go through, remember that it's not a punishment. God does all things for our good and his glory. We're told to abide in Jesus, and he will abide in us, because no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine. We learned that from Elder Dina. We cannot bear fruit or produce evidence of our faith unless we remain in Christ. So Jesus is insisting on the need for union with him, on complete dependence on him, and constant connection with him. As Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples, these are encouraging words that he will stay connected with them, and they are to stay connected with him, just as a branch stays connected to the vine. Jesus makes it clear that we cannot bear fruit by ourselves. Like that grape that Elder Dina had, that can't produce another grape on its own. You know, it can't produce another cluster of grapes. We can only bear fruit if we abide in him. And that if we do not abide in him, not only can we not bear fruit, but we can do nothing. Now, of course, we can do many things without Christ. There are many people that are not Christians, and they do many things. They do many, even uber successful things. But Jesus is telling us that we can do nothing of spiritual or eternal value without him. So let's dig deeper into what it means to abide in Christ. According to biblical scholar Dale Bruner, abide means to make your home with, to continue with, remain, or to stick with. He writes, Jesus invites us to live with him. Think of the honor. And Jesus adds encouragingly, as I am making my home with you. This gracious addition enhances Jesus' invitation because it tells us that Jesus is not just a passive inviter, awaiting our move before he makes his. He's already made his move and therefore would very much like ours. I'm taking both the initiative and making the invitation. Please accept my invitation and initiative. I want very much to live with you, is what Jesus is saying to us. Now for me, for 8 years, from the time I graduated high school until I graduated chiropractic college, I moved every 4 to 8 years. I'm sorry, every 4 to 8 months for those 8 years. And nowhere really felt like home. I lived in many dorm rooms, student housing, shared bedrooms, shared bathrooms, shared kitchens and living rooms. I didn't sleep very soundly. I didn't really let my guard down. I put up posters and added a potted plant to help, but it never really felt like home. I would call my parents home, the home that I grew up in and the home that they still live in. I would call that home home, because that's where I felt at home. I felt welcome. I felt at ease. I felt comfortable, secure. I felt like I could really rest there. Let my guard down, be myself. Home home is what I feel like when I think of abiding in Jesus. According to Pastor John Piper from desiringgod.org, it is trusting in Jesus, remaining in fellowship with Jesus, connecting to Jesus so that all that God is for us in him is flowing like a life-giving sap into our lives. Abiding is believing, trusting, savoring, resting, receiving. Abiding in the vine means receiving and believing and trusting in the words of Jesus. If we abide or remain in Jesus Christ and his words remain in us, if we make our home in Jesus as our essential source of spiritual life and his teachings live in our heart, he tells us that we can ask for whatever we wish and it will be done for us. Now, I'm pretty sure Jesus wasn't telling his disciples to make their wish list like a child would make a wish list for Santa Claus or like a genie in a bottle. When we make our home in Jesus Christ and his teachings are in our heart, we can pray for anything according to God's will. It takes the pressure off us because he's only going to give us what's according to his will anyway. When we're abiding in Christ and he's abiding in us, we become more like him. We are aligned with him, fully connected with him as our source of spiritual life. We are being conformed and transformed into his image. And then our desires align with God's desires for us, and our prayers and our will align with God's will. Bearing much fruit and being Jesus' disciples is how we glorify God. Our purpose is to glorify God in all that we do. We read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. So if our purpose is to glorify God in all that we do, and Jesus has told us what glorifies God, which is to be his disciples and to bear much fruit, he also told us how to bear fruit, and that is to abide in him and keep his word on our hearts. And we've learned that to abide in him means to remain in him, make our home in him, rest in him. But how do we apply this practically? How does that, what does that really mean in our everyday lives? How do we really abide in Jesus? Maybe it doesn't need to be a grand, significant change in our lifestyle or career. Maybe it doesn't need to be a mountaintop experience. Maybe it can happen in our ordinary, everyday activities, in the mundane chores that we do. Maybe we can seek closer connection with God in a simple walk in nature, or in reading or studying a passage of scripture, or maybe in doing a load of laundry and asking God to clean up our hearts like we're cleaning our clothes, or singing a song of praise while making dinner. Maybe we set aside a time where we put our phone aside and we invite Jesus into whatever we're doing at that time. Maybe we try to see how many people we can smile at. Or even better, maybe we can see how many people we can get to smile back. It may involve slowing down and adding maybe some of these prayers to our everyday activities. God, please use me. Prune me. Cleanse me. Help me to be like Jesus to someone today. Abiding in Jesus, making our home in Jesus, remaining in Jesus is a conscious, active commitment of faith. And when we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, and only then will we bear much fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, working in us and through us, becoming more like Jesus, sharing God's love. And that is how we glorify God and become his disciples. As we wrap up, I'd like to walk us through a way to connect with Jesus through a method of prayer called imaginative contemplation. Now, I'm still learning this, so I'm going to walk us through this, but this might be something you might want to try on your own. I learned this from Jesuits in Britain. We're going to imagine ourselves in the gospel scene we have just explored today. So I know this is may make us feel a little vulnerable. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, but it's going to be a way for us to connect to Jesus right here, right now, just for a moment. So close your eyes if you feel comfortable. I want you to picture yourself in the upper room in our reading today. Imagine yourself being there as one of Jesus' disciples. You've just shared the Last Supper with Jesus. Imagine what the upper room looks like. Can you see the Roman-style arches and columns? Are you still sitting down, or are you now standing up? What does it smell like? Can you still smell the food from the Last Supper? Can you still taste the bread and wine? What sounds do you hear? Do you hear activity or bustling going on outside through the windows? Or are you so focused on Jesus' voice that everything else is tuned out? What does it feel like in the upper room? Is it warm? How do you feel like now that you've just heard Jesus say these words to you? Abide in me as I abide in you. Do you feel encouraged now that you know he will remain in you? Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you have the opportunity to be alone with Jesus, just you and Jesus in the upper room. Jesus turns to you and asks, "What can I do for you?" And you tell him. Tell him what's going on with you. Tell him what you need. Tell him maybe what you've been afraid to tell him. Or you may not have any words. There may only be silence or tears, and that's okay. Then when you're ready, turn to Jesus and ask, "What can I do for you?" And then listen quietly, prayerfully. You may not get any clear message, but that's okay. You are abiding. You are connecting. You are in the presence of Christ, and that is enough. I'll close in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for being the gardener. We thank you for giving us Jesus and for wanting to have a relationship with us. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be disciples of Jesus by abiding in him and him abiding in us, so we may bear fruit and share your love with others and glorify you in all that we do. Help us to trust in you, God, during our seasons of pruning and during our seasons of growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.